Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Good day, Walter.
Hello, Martin.
Let's get right into it. What are we doing today?
We're doing a summary of the signs of the times so that we can take what happened throughout this year and the times that we are living in and concentrate it into one little package so that people can have easy access to it.
So let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you very much for all that you do for us, and we ask that you also enlighten our minds, bless the discussion, the viewers, and all listeners of this episode. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Martin, we need to understand where we stand in the stream of history. And if we do not learn from history, then we will not understand the present.
And we are prone to repeat it.
Yes. No, we are doomed, to repeat it. So if we go to the signs of the end, then we read in Matthew 24, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." So this is a double prophecy for then and for the end of the world, obviously. What are the signs? And what will it be like at the end of the world? And the number one problem will be deception.
Yeah.
We've spoken about lies many times. Surely we have inherited lies. And I think we are hearing lies every single day. And the media is very good at making propaganda out of lies.
Yes, it's prevalent now. It's so important because I think the whole world is asleep because they fall for all this.
It's time to switch off the television and switch on the brain.
Yes.
So if we look here at the signs of the times, then I think we must place them in categories. So the signs of the times can be placed in various categories. And each category needs to come to fruition, and they need to climax simultaneously before the full prophetic picture can be realized. Now, what are these categories? You know, people look at Matthew 24 and say, you know, earthquakes have always been earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And pestilences, there have always been pestilences. How do you know that this is, you know, the end? Mm. All right, there's an escalation.
That's it.
But even that, you know, there were times when there were escalations in the past. Now, there must be many, many things which must occur simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And this is what makes the prophetic picture so complete. So if we look at them, there must be the physical, environmental signs that need to reach a universal application. There must be moral decay associated with end-time prophecies, and they need to be universal.
Yes.
You know, if you read in the Bible, it tells us what the world will be like in the last days and how the youth will be and disobedience and all of these things, anarchy and violence and every imagination of the heart continuously evil, right? So there must be moral decay, and then there must be ethnic clashes, and they must be commonplace, and they must be universal. And then there must be a political prophetic picture that must come to fruition. Then there must be a religious prophetic picture that must come to fruition. And then you need the legislation associated with buying and selling and the implementation of the mark of the beast. And all of these collectively must be in place at the same time.
Yes.
Then you know you're in the last days. And I'm happy to announce that they are all alive and doing well in the times that we are living in.
Definitely.
The sooner the better.
Yes, it has to come to fruition now.
So let's have a look at the physical environmental signs that need to reach universal application. We already read in Matthew 24 that when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and they asked him these things. And he answered, take heed that no man deceive you. Deception will be the name of the game. So you have to study. How do you unearth deception?
By studying.
By studying.
that's the thing that's happening now. Nobody is studying. They're just taking whatever is being told them.
Correct. So the only ones, as that man already so correctly said in Rulers of Evil, in the foreword, the only ones who believe in conspiracy theories are those who have really studied them, right? And those who shout a lot are obviously totally ignorant as far as these things are concerned. They've never read things like Morals and Dogma. They've never read Blavatsky's writings, Isis Unveiled or Secret Doctrine. They've never read one of those. Thank God they haven't, because I wouldn't want to, suggest that people read those books. But even books that are written about these things to expose them, the secret history of the Jesuits. I've got a whole stack of books just on the history of the Jesuits. The most evil society that has ever disgraced this planet. And it's not me saying this alone. History has recorded it. Presidents have said it. The spirit of prophecy makes no bones about it either. And people say, what is this all about?
Yes, and then when we say people, prominent people, are affiliated with the Jesuits.
Yes, there's hardly a politician who is high up in the ranks that is not associated. And if he's not associated, he could probably end up being a dead politician, right?
Yeah.
So let us not dwell on the ignorance of many, but you must take heed. You must study. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So when you see people saying, this is it, there have always been those that have claimed that they are Christ. Mm. But then it was always a sect somewhere over there hidden away. Whereas today, this is becoming world news.
Yeah.
Then this is a different level, right? You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. And these are just the beginnings. So these are signs, but then you must add the political signs, you must add the religious signs, you must add the moral signs, you must add all of these things. So let's have a look at some of these. Religious news services reported that the Messiah of the Second Coming has come for Easter 2021. So he's here. For Easter 2021. That was quite a few months ago. Well, fortunately, it was only a Zoom conference. So in the past, Palm Sunday, Chi Chen, Messiah, the Messiah of the Second Coming, hosted a teleconference of the Second Coming to announce the first part of the proclamation of the Second Coming for the new millennium, to unveil the 2,000-year mystery of the Book of Revelation. It's amazing. So here we have the Israel Today, Jewish world, top rabbi, Messiah's name will soon be revealed. Now it becomes public, right?
Yes. World news, like you just said.
It's world news, and it's associated with the rabbinical system. And there they are. So this rabbi revealed that God is ready to reveal the name of the Messiah, and he urged them to get ready. And we need some unity.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. If he's ready to reveal the name, then it must be an earthly person.
Correct. And again, we'll have to do a little summary. Here at the end of the year, we need to do a few where we pertinently summarize the events just to make sure that we know where we are standing in the stream of time. And this is now the first one in that little series. Here's another Israel Today. Israeli rabbi says he's already holding meetings with the Messiah. This is pretty blatant, right?
Yeah.
All right, we don't have to go into all of this. We've mentioned it before in other lectures. But he's considered one of the three top rabbis of the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in Israel. So these are not fly-by-night people. Mm-hmm. These are prominent people saying the Messiah is here. So that's a sign, right?
Yeah.
And then we have rumors of wars. And we have wars. Well, we've had enough wars.
Yeah.
The world, in fact, hasn't been without war. And if you take all the conflicts in Africa and all over the place, and then what are the chances of a bigger war? Is a war with China inevitable? This is from The Nation in July 2021. Statement coming out of the Department of Defense and the Upper Congress these days make it seem that way. So on this basis, the Pentagon requested $715 billion in military expenditures for 2022. So this is for a high-intensity war with China that will cost quite a lot of money. And, you know, China's in the news now a lot.
Yeah, and also when they had that missile, that hypersonic missile, that is, there's a lot of buzz going on.
And their navy is now bigger than the U.S. Navy.
And don't put Russia out of the equation.
Correct. Russia is massing troops on the Ukrainian border, and they are speaking of an impending invasion. And is it worthwhile for the United States to defend Ukraine, or should they rather not risk that conflict? And China has now sent aircraft into the Taiwanese airspace, and they used refueling planes for the first time. So, you know, these things are hotting up. But at this stage, it's rumors of wars.
Yeah.
But that's a fulfillment of prophecy. And these are not small wars. We're talking about major nuclear confrontations.
Exactly.
The U.S. and China are preparing for war, and Australia is caught in the crosshairs. This comes from the international affairs analyst, Stan Grant. And there were big celebrations in China because of the Korean War, where they say China came out victorious, and therefore there's no reason why they shouldn't be victorious again.
Again, yeah.
All right, so this is all part of the picture. And then there will be environmental calamities. And we showed this little video before. We can just briefly click through it. So, Martin, what's your comment on that?
Well, it just shows you that it is escalating right around the world.
Yes.
It's not just, okay, there's a little storm here or here, and there's always been storms or there's always been hurricanes. That, like you've mentioned, the intensity is picking up drastically.
It's also possible that some people say, you know, the population has moved into dangerous areas, and the media is also picking up dangerously. So whatever happens.
Well, that, now you've got these two at juxtaposition. God said that it will increase, and now we've got it's because of climate change.
Correct. So there must always be a secular reason. Mm-hmm. And I guess Job also thought it was climate change when his house and his children were swept away, right?
Can you imagine what climate change it was when Noah
That was climate change of a real high order. Where did it come from? And then as far as earthquakes are concerned, they say that they are increasing in frequency and that they're increasing in intensity. So here's the report that the Haiti earthquake was twice as strong as the 2010 disaster, which actually claimed more lives than the present one. There's a sixfold increase in people suffering famine-like conditions since the pandemic began. This is interesting. Mm. This is also from 2021. 11 people are likely dying every minute from hunger, now outpacing COVID-19 fatalities, warns Oxfam. So the hunger virus is multiplying. Crisis levels of food insecurity. It's interesting that there was a news now just this week that Biden was supposed to hold a news conference on food security and supply lines. Mm. But then, of course, a new virulent virus that gives you mild tiredness caused the whole world to shut down. But we'll talk about that in another one. So that is going to also cause a crisis. And we had this disaster in Vancouver. And the government said, please don't hoard food. The supply lines won't be affected. Mm, mm. So all of these things are pretty interesting, right?
I'm sure a lot of people have realized that supply lines has actually been affected.
I think so. And Bill Gates issued a stark warning for the world, as awful as this pandemic is, climate change could be worse. And he wants to darken the sun.
Yeah.
Instead of feeding some of those hungry mouths, let's darken the sun. And the governments are all on board, and we've had a whole series on that, so we don't have to say too much about COP26 and all of these things. But for the sake of clarity and completeness, let's just listen again to what John Kerry had to say. And he's the one in charge of the American response to climate change, right?
The stakes on climate change just simply couldn't be any higher than they are right now. It is existential. We use that word too easily. We throw it away. But we have a big agenda in front of us on a global basis. And President Biden is deeply committed, totally seized by this issue, as you can tell by this executive order. He also knows that Paris alone is not enough, not when almost 90% of all of the planet's emissions, global emissions, come from outside of U.S. borders. We could go to zero tomorrow, and the problem isn't solved. So that's why today, 1 week into the job, President Biden will sign this additional executive set of orders to help move us down the road, ensuring that ambitious climate action is global in scope and scale, as well as the national here at home. The president is announcing that he will host a leaders' summit on climate change less than 3 months from now, on April 22nd, Earth Day, which will include a leader-level reconvening of the major economies forum. The convening of this summit is essential to ensuring that that 2021 is going to be the year that really makes up for the lost time of the last 4 years, and that the UN Climate Conference, COP26 as it's called, which the UK is hosting in November, to make sure that it is an unqualified success.
So, Martin, just to put that into perspective, we have all of this hype in the world, and we know that the Bible predicts that there will be natural disasters. We also know that there are statements in the Spirit of Prophecy which says that there are demonic forces also working behind the scenes to manipulate.
Yeah.
And we must also remember that they use humanity in order to manipulate.
That's it. They're agents.
Correct. And we know for a fact that climate can be manipulated.
Exactly, because a lot of people say that's conspiracy. No, no.
No, no.
They've admitted this. Top scientists, and we've had last year an episode on that. Yeah. There's definitely climate manipulation going on.
Correct. And not only climate manipulation, they can create earthquakes.
Yeah.
Tesla created equipment that could create earthquakes. And that equipment is still available and can be viewed in the United States of America. So let's just have a quick reality check again. The climate models that they used are exactly those. They're based on models. And there are many, many models, and they all predict this tremendous climb in temperature. And it seems as if all the governments use models, a handful of models, to do this. And we've had scientists in our past programs speaking on these issues and say that these models are really thumbnology, sucking it out of your thumb. Because this blue line here is reality. And the fluctuations in the blue line are in accordance with the events that have happened through the centuries. Mm-hmm. So again, is this reality or is this hype? Mm-hmm. And thousands of scientists, literally thousands, have signed documents stating that this is nothing but propaganda and hype. Be careful lest someone leads you in a direction that you might not want to go with some ulterior motive.
Exactly. Lest you be deceived.
Correct. Now, here is a video, Martin, which is interesting because it's on CNN. And the founder of the Weather Channel there, and he's deceased now already, he made an interesting little hoo-ha on television because he was no longer involved at that stage, and he got quite angry. And it's interesting as to what he had to say. Now, people will say, you know, that's past history. Now we know that this is a real fact, this climate change, but there are thousands of scientists who will assert the opposite. But then we have banning and shadow banning, don't we?
That's it.
So let's just look at this little interview because it's quite interesting.
One of the biggest crises we face, climate change, and a media war over that crisis. Climate deniers, people who believe climate change is not happening in any meaningful way, are sometimes painted in the media as fringe characters, as kooks. So this might shock you. A man who co-founded the Weather Channel thinks climate change is a hoax. So what did the Weather Channel do? It very publicly disavowed him. After all, for those who believe that the climate is changing and fast, this is a life and death matter.
It's nice to be on CNN. Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change, and I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
I'm talking now. Hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
is
when you see...
because you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN, but I'm happy that I got on the air and got a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody. There is no global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party, a position. So they don't have any choice. if you're going to get the money, you got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute you on
the facts.
That's
the truth.
I'll simply say that the vast majority...
Please stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air. There are 31,000 scientists who have signed a petition that says it is not valid, that my position is correct. And we'll keep battling, and we will prevail in time, but I don't know if we'll do it in my lifetime.
Martin, do we have to add anything to that?
I don't think it's necessary.
You don't think it's necessary?
No.
All right, he's just one of them, right? There were others as well. And some of them were quite humorous, especially when they were taking Al Gore to task, climbing up and down ladders trying to make their point. So, you know, we can go on and on in circles. There are two sides to a story. And when one side is constantly put down and facts checked and told that they are lunatic fringe, mm-hmm. How many did he mention there? 31,000? I mean, that's incredible. All right, not all of them were climatologists.
No, but
many of them had PhDs.
Even if you put in the half of them, 15,000, that's quite a substantial amount of scientists. And I can promise you the 97% that agreed with it that he was mentioning in that one were not 15,000.
No.
And just another comment that I would like to make. It's, again, coming back to logic. I think a lot of logic is also missing when you're discussing these things.
It's about emotion, mm-hmm. and getting a particular agenda on board. We've discussed that agenda in some detail in the past. We're now just looking at signs. Mm-hmm. But here's an interesting article from the Deutsche Wissenschaftsnachrichten. That's the German science news. Groundbreaking verdict. And this comes from 11/11/2021. For the first time, the court finds that wind turbines are harmful to your health. For the first time, the existence and significance of the so-called wind turbine syndrome is recorded, i.e. harmful consequences of the low-frequency noise emitted by wind turbines and infrasound on health. The judgment of the Court of Appeal could have far-reaching consequences for the development of wind power in Germany and Europe. You know, whenever you do something, there is a problem. If you have overhead power lines, you're advised not to live underneath them because you have a higher incidence of cancer. Mm-hmm. You cannot just shut down everything, but you cannot necessarily replace everything with something else.
That's the thing. I mean, if you take years back, you had the hole of the ozone, and then they got rid of all the CFCs, if I remember.
Correct. Since then, you haven't heard of any problem with the ozone layer.
But now that has created another problem again. So now, in the lower atmosphere, there's some problem that they have to get rid of now. So it will always, you'll just shift. It's almost like when you get a disease and you try to cure it with a drug. With a drug. You're just putting it in another place.
Correct. So this thing will carry on and on and on, and whatever your agenda is, you can fit it into the narrative, mm-hmm. right? The Spectator, are you ready for climate lockdowns? So now we've racked it up to such a level that the possibility of climate lockdowns is already being floated by some of our greatest thinkers. I've become rather allergic to some of our greatest thinkers, haven't you?
Yes.
Under a climate lockdown, governments would limit private vehicle use, ban consumption of red meat, and impose extreme energy-saving measures, while fossil fuel companies would have to stop drilling. To avoid such a scenario, we must overhaul our economic structures and do capitalism differently. This sounds exactly like the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Gates, as we have said before, wants to spray dust into the atmosphere so that it can block the sun. Does he know what the consequences might be elsewhere? Has a environmental impact study been done on that? Mm-hmm. Has the science come out, or will the science be just as one-sided as it is at the moment?
I'm sure, and what's scary is I think they're actually going forward with it.
And now they want environmental activists pushing for compulsory climate change education worldwide as part of the Paris Agreement. Well, you know, there's many things that they want to change in education. Mm-hmm. Sex education is changing in the world, and parents have no say as to what the children, but that's a moral issue. We'll come to that. Now you have environmental activists wanting to give environmental classes. Now, what about those 31,000 scientists? Will any one of them be eligible for a job like that?
No, I don't think so,
right? No, it'll be the others. So obviously that which was has to be removed. The entire economy has to be restructured. And when it is restructured, the money will go into that which the government favors, right?
Yes.
So the middleman will be again cut out, and the middle class will disappear.
Yes, small business.
We'll be back in the Middle Ages. So let these people build back better.
Build back better.
To build back better or whatever. And build back better.
To build back better.
Build back from this global pandemic.
Build back better.
Build back better.
Building back better.
To build back better.
Build it back better.
And build it back better.
Build back better.
To build back.
Build back better.
It's about building this country back better.
Build back better.
Building back better.
Build back better.
Some would say to build back better. We would say to really have a great reset.
The cartoonists are having a field day. Political cartoon of the day, plugging the pipeline. Plug back better. It's interesting when they depict him these days. He's always got blood on his hand and not much going on upstairs. Now, you know, I think this is being a bit facetious, perhaps. I don't think that it's as bad as they portray. But when I listen to his latest speeches on the new pandemic and the new variants and the flip-flopping that takes place there, I sometimes wonder whether, you know, not only he but many others, whether all the ganglia are operating at optimal capacity.
Or are they just very good at doing what they're told?
Perhaps they're all trained actors. After all, many of them have been to Jesuit schools and universities, and their acting becomes a very prominent part of the curriculum, Jesuit theater. Now, one of the more serious issues, because this is the reason why God has to draw a line. Because when morality becomes so debased that all the imagination is continuously evil, then it's time for God to act, because they've made void his law. So moral decay associated with the end time prophecy needs to be universal. And this debate really has become universal. California law would fine department stores $1,000 for separating toys by gender. Children now need time to decide what gender they are. So you don't have a blue room and a pink room anymore. You have a neutral room until you know what gender it is. Now, anybody with that is even slightly compos mentis used to know immediately once the child was born what gender it was. And nowadays with ultrasound, you know what gender it is before they're even born. But Martin, that seems to have gone out of the window. I wonder which brilliant scientist figured this out.
Unfortunately, this is the norm.
This is the norm and the standard.
Yeah.
So in the schools in the United States of America, they have gender-neutral restrooms. And there have been some very serious incidents, because that is quite a carrot that is dangled before some people to assume an agenda that suits their agenda, right?
Yeah, it's a scary scenario when you start going into these things.
It is, in actual fact, a total loss of cognizance.
Yeah, it's moral decay.
It's moral decay of the highest order. Gay Polly Morris Thrupple with children say it's no big deal that their kids have three dads. And, you know, one wonders what the consequences will be long term if you do not have this balance of a father and a mother. And the Bible clearly says he created them male and female. That seems to be banned these days. Mm-hmm. And it's not only the United States. Whether you go to the UK, whether you go to other parts of Europe, whether you go to the Pacific region, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, it doesn't matter where. This, let's call it by its name, disease has become universal. It is a universal moral decay.
Yeah.
Everything that God has put in place, that order has been turned upside down.
Once again, by the master of reversal.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole push of role reversal, and, you know, let's talk about this for a little while. You know, the people think that the division of labor between a male and a female is such that the woman is getting the short straw. In actual fact, when you read the Bible, she got the higher responsibility. The man had to go out and earn the keep by the sweat of his brow. Mm-hmm. And her desire would be for him. People pervert that verse as well, because this obviously created a separation. He's out there and she's dealing with the other issues, mm-hmm. raising children with moral characters. Mm-hmm. That is the highest job in the universe.
Exactly.
The highest job in the universe has been given to the woman.
Yeah.
And it's not that a man can't do it. You have single dads, and sometimes mm-hmm. circumstances force these things upon you. But you still need both to have that balance. And the world is in a sad state because of sin. But if we would be happy with the roles that God has assigned us, the world would be a better place. Key facts on abortion. If you look at these statistics, it's absolutely horrifying. An abortion is a medical procedure that ends a pregnancy. It is a basic health care need for millions of women, girls and others, who can become pregnant worldwide. An estimated 1 in 4 pregnancies end in an abortion every year. That's a quarter of the increase to humanity. A quarter.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
Yes. And 99.999% of those are nothing short but murder. Mm. And, you know, is it a fetus or is it a human being? The Bible calls it, and the child.
Yeah.
The child jumped within the womb. So this is a moral issue. This is a moral issue, and God will hold the world accountable for the reasons for this. What is the main reason why this has become so important? It's because of moral decay.
Yes.
Because of moral decay. U.S. bishops caught funding radical groups supporting riots calling for death to the police. Now you have the church adding its voice to ethnic violence. Now, that's another sign of the times. Now, Martin, God has created, the Bible says, the whole of humanity by one blood. Mm-hmm. Correct? And therefore, as God's children, we are all of one blood. Therefore, we are brothers and sisters. But humanity has so separated them into groups, and now we have all kinds of new groups as well, artificial groups. And then you have draconian rules coming in to enforce these artificial groups. This is all part of moral decay.
Definitely.
A total disregard to the value of life and the value of a person of whatever race or creed they come from. And in God, in Christ, we are all one.
And if we implement love your neighbor, then you won't have this problem.
You won't have this problem. But this problem is being fueled by what? By propaganda.
That's it.
And the propaganda machine, unfortunately, is universal.
That's it. And people fall for this. You're not, and that's where I think it's important. If you're grounded in the Bible, then propaganda like this in the media won't affect you. But it's sad to say that even in the church, people have been affected because the propaganda machine actually caught them.
Correct. Now, at Pentecost, was there segregation in those that received the gift of the Holy Spirit?
No.
No. That and when those thousands were baptized, did they put them into categories?
No.
Did That's they put them into black, white, vaxxed, unvaxxed, whatever? Did they categorize them?
No.
No.
That's exactly what God intended for it. That the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all.
Did they separate them into 20 or 30 genders?
No.
No, absolutely not, right? So Black Lives Matter is a spiritual movement, says the co-founder, Patrice Cullors. Why? Because they have ancestor worship in there. Now, we know what the Bible says about that. Be careful lest anyone deceives you. This is deception of the highest order, because the Bible says the dead know nothing, they are asleep. So and how can you introduce them in this way?
You see, and now the problem is you, because you might associate with some of this, swallow the pill, and there you sit and you become exactly what the Bible warns you against.
So you're drinking a soft drink with arsenic in it. And who becomes your enemy?
Anybody that doesn't look or think like you.
Exactly. That's the enemy. So this, Martin, is not a color issue. This is a moral issue. This is a moral issue. It is a devaluation, a degradation, an atrocity against what God says in His Word. It is a direct affront to what God has revealed in His Word. Because over and over it says, even in the book of Revelation, every tribe and tongue and people, it doesn't matter. What happens is here. Martin, the media, do they play a role in this moral decay?
I think they are at the head of the moral decay.
All right. The movie world? Mm-hmm. In the old South Africa, when I was young, they had a censor board. Mm. And the only one who got to watch the moral decay were those who were on the censor board, and they were mostly of a religious nature, right? They were the pastors, etc. Those poor people, they became so perverted, probably they didn't know which way to go anymore. But nowadays, everything goes. It's all right, right? And how they target children. It is a form of moral decay which we would never have expected possible. Here's a little discussion on how they advertise things.
John Lewis recently released an ad for home insurance featuring a young boy wearing a dress, makeup and heels.
Inside the
because you can't claim home insurance for allowing your kid to trash your home. Maybe if John Lewis had actually concentrated on the details of their service rather than their effusive zeal to portray a boy in lipstick, the ad wouldn't have been banned. But it's not really about the product anymore, is it? This year's Halloween ad for Twix Chocolate Bar features a boy facing discrimination for wearing a princess dress. A witch nanny then comes to the boy's aid after he's confronted by a bully.
Hey, you! Princess! You look like a girl! Why are you wearing that?
The witch nanny then conjures up a magic trick to disappear the bully. So parents leave a kid alone until the new nanny comes. She forces herself in, then murders a playground boy. All because he said they look different. Are you sure this will help us sell more Twix? Twix? Last year, the NHS terrified children by showing Santa being wheeled into the hospital on the verge of dying of COVID. Heineken, the beer company that proudly supports the total abolition of all borders, at least remains consistent by insisting that there shouldn't be any borders when it comes to public toilets. But only if you've had your shot and displayed your vaccine passport. Granddad dies, goes to heaven, and comes back as a gay ghost.
Hermano, como te extraño.
Tío Alberto!
¡Qué sorpresa! ¿Qué hubo, la familia? ¿Cómo están? ¿Quién es él?
Es Mario, mi pareja.
Are you sure this will help us sell more Doritos? Doritos? Look at this charmingly quaint snapshot of suburban British life. Bear in mind, this is an ad for bingo.
Has the world gone mad or has it gone mad, Martin?
It's not about, like you said, it's not about the it's selling the product anymore.
No, it's about selling perversity, yeah. Right? It's to make it acceptable.
Exactly.
Now, what about the political prophetic picture? That must come to fruition as well, right? The kings of the world must give their power unto the beast. So when we read in the book of Revelation, and we've dealt with this in many, many lectures, this is just a summary lecture, we know that there will be a healing of the papal wound, because I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And then he beheld this other beast come up out of the earth, this two-horned beast. Statecraft, churchcraft will come together, and they will make an image to the first beast, become like it, speak like it, and introduce draconian laws which honor the first beast, right? And there will be miracles and signs which will seem to portray the idea that the religious world is on the right track here in doing what it is doing by uniting with government to enforce certain legislation.
It will look biblical. It will look that this is what God wants.
This is what God wants. And there's no denying that we have all of these issues happening in the world today that require draconian legislation, even to the point of a death sentence.
Because it is for the common good.
For the common good. So it deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, the first beast, Roman Catholicism, where all the reformers were united on this idea, this is a summation of the identity of the Antichrist, which they identified as the papacy. It lost its political power in 1798 when, under the French Revolution, which, by the way, was steered by the Jesuits. Napoleon was educated by the Jesuits. He was one of their key men. Took hold of the whole situation, ended the political power. 1929, they gave it back to the Vatican in a new form. And since then, we've had this great march back into political power.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the influence of the Vatican
Correct.
Has just gone.
And today, we have a Roman Catholic president in the United States who makes no bones about it, and his whole team, even John Kerry, saying the moral power that we must make an image of is the papacy.
Yeah.
And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and this word means admire. Well, if you look at some of the speeches, isn't he treated with admiration?
The highest. There's no person on earth that's treated with a higher admiration than him.
Correct. So now, this is the political picture that must come to fruition. So you must have the moral decay, which we've seen. We must have the environmental chaos, which we've seen. We must have the messianic chaos, which we've seen. And now we must have the political issue. The wound must have been given, 1798. The wound must start to heal, 1929. He gets back his political power. And then through his agents, which are the Jesuits and the Knights of Malta and the Knights of Columbus, political organizations, they infiltrate the political systems of the world. And the kings of the world are basically just doing the bidding of these powers that operate behind the scenes. And as a result, the world admires the papacy.
Yeah.
And the political world is seen to unite with it. It was totally separated when the United States of America was formed, when the colonies were formed. They were Protestant colonies. And eventually they became independent Protestant nations.
Yes.
That's all over.
Gone.
The political world has changed. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits on many waters. Now, Martin, this angel that has one of the seven vials, those vials contain the last plagues.
Yeah.
So he's already ready to pour out the last plagues. And here he is, and he's saying, I'll show you the judgment of this great religious apostate system, because that's what a whore is in the Bible. It is a system of apostasy against the Word of God that sits on many waters, and the Bible defines the waters as peoples, multitudes, nations, and kings. So this great church, which sits upon many waters, is also depicted in this chapter as a woman riding the beast.
Yes.
That means she controls it.
Mm-hmm.
She controls the political systems of the world. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They have admired her for her false doctrine.
Yeah.
They have drunk the wine of her fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth are also drunk with the wine of her fornication. They get her fornication via the media from morning till night and drink it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
It's a rather sad state of affairs. Take heed,
that's it,
that no one
deceive
you. And one of the heads said Revelation 13:3 was as it was wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. That means it has political clout back.
Mm-hmm.
And all the world wondered after the beast. Right? all the world wondered, admired the beast. In other words, they'd made an image to it. And they were going to be like it. And God warned us, don't do it. Whatever comes out of that beast's mouth is a lie.
Yes. It's so important to know that.
Yes.
Because what is the mouthpiece of the beast?
The media.
The media.
The media. It controls the media. Because through its Knights of Columbus and other affiliates, it has total control of all of these things. So let's just give this brief overview again. We've done it before. The kings of the world, whether they are from the right or whether they are from the left, it makes no difference. This is where they go. Whether they are from the communist bloc or whether they are from the capitalist bloc, they are good buddies. I mean, these two people seem to know each other quite well, don't they? They look like long friends who haven't seen each other for a long time. And this one over here, well, he seems to have a very intimate relation and he's made no bones about it. And Jesuit trained, right?
Yeah.
Most of them. Most of them. Unbelievable that all of these things should come to fruition in our time. Now, the media and the great internet companies, Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, or what about Mark Zuckerberg? Or what about Kevin Systrom, CEO of Instagram? Why are they all there, Martin?
It's interesting. Once they've been there, do we see a lot of changes all of a sudden coming into all of this?
Correct. Now look at this young man over here. Or this one over here. What are they doing at the Vatican? And why do all the rules change as soon as they put their foot out of the Vatican, right? So there's a lot of planning that's going on. So whatever is shadow banned is something that's probably the truth. And everything that is on alternative media is probably more truthful than what is on actual media. Let's be quite open and blunt about this. If science or any other area of endeavor is not permitted to have alternative views aired so that you can weigh them in a balance, then it's no longer science. It's called propaganda and coercion.
Perfect. That's exactly what it is.
And the religious world, whether they are from the Pentecostal world, or what about the father of so-called Protestantism this day, Rick Warren, or what about the head of the Lutheran World Federation? They all seem very happy to return. Did any of the doctrines of Rome change?
No.
Then what reason is there to embrace them?
Because they have been deceived.
They have been deceived. They have been indoctrinated.
They have swallowed the wine.
Correct. Now remember when Joe Biden went to visit the Pope just before COP26, and he had that meeting also then in Rome with the G20 countries, where they made all kinds of agreements, as I suddenly heard over the news the other day, that apparently aren't being adhered to. And he gave gifts to the Pope. And he arrived with 85 vehicles that all had to be flown in, armored vehicles, that guzzle a huge amount of fuel to make sure that he contributes liberally to climate change parameters. Yeah. And he gave gifts. And it's interesting that the gift was something that was very dear to the Jesuits. So let's have a look at this.
A motorcade of 85 vehicles escorted President Joseph Biden and First Lady Jill Biden to the Vatican on Friday morning for a private meeting with Pope Francis, a day before the G20 summit of world leaders in Rome. It was the first time Joe Biden met the Pope as President of the United States. Biden is the second Catholic U.S. president in history, and he fittingly chose a rather Catholic gift for the Pope. It was his hand-woven fiddleback chasuble from the archival collection of the Holy Trinity Church in Washington, D.C. The vestment was commissioned in 1930 and used by the Jesuits in the United States.
I hope you find this gift from the United States appropriate.
The Pope, in turn, gave the president a one-of-a-kind ceramic depicting a pilgrim in Rome with St. Peter's Basilica in the background. He also gave him a collection of his pontifical texts.
Don't you find it interesting that he says, I hope that you will find this gift from the United States acceptable?
Yes.
And that it comes from the Jesuits. And there were some presidents of the United States that vehemently wrote against the Jesuits.
Correct. And they warned that should those sentiments ever be adopted, that would be the new night. And I think we are having a new night in the world.
Do you have the image and the beast there together?
You have everything together. So it's God's plan to unite all of humanity. But it seems to me that this unity of all humanity must be on the basis of their morality, which is totally contrary to the biblical morality. Here's the section in Genesis where it deals with the Tower of Babel. And it is quite clear that when that happened, the whole earth was one language and one speech. We could say today they are marching in unison with one way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. That's Babylon. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime, bitumen, asphalt, had they for mortar. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. But there was a direct denial of the veracity of a promise that God had made. Mm-hmm. He said, I will not destroy the world again. They disbelieved God.
Exactly.
So these are the ones that believe the serpent rather than believing God. And they want to build a city. Now, Babylon was a city, and antitypical Babylon is a city. And Rome calls itself the mother city, the city. So this is all very fascinating. They're building a new Tower of Babel, and they make no bones about it. They even put it on their emblems in Europe, that it is the new Tower of Babel. So the religious prophetic picture must also come to fruition. And we've seen this unity and this ecumenical drive. Now, just to elaborate a little, if this is an apostate system, you must see it clearly. Mm-hmm. Because there should be no room for deception. Because God wants to be fair, right? So, Amazonian woman who led the Vatican tree planting ceremony reveals the pagan significance of what they did. And they basically knelt down before Pachamama. And this is a goddess, an earth goddess ritual, right?
Yeah, this is pantheism.
Pantheism in its highest form.
And idolatry.
Yes, and the Pope participates. And the Protestant churches, what did they say? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Maybe a squawk here and a squawk there.
Yeah, there were more from the right side in Catholicism that were actually making some waves.
Okay. So search for Christian unity is making progress, says the Pope. So obviously Christian unity must be unity in error.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to get rid of something to get unity.
Marking the 25th anniversary of St. John Paul II's encyclical on Christian unity, Pope Francis said he shares the healthy impatience of those who think more can and should be done. But he also insisted that Christians must be grateful for the progress that has already been made. And of course, it's taken centuries and millennia, because this rift between the Orthodox Church and Rome has taken quite a while, right?
Yeah.
So here we go. They're coming together. Is this a sign of the times?
Definitely.
The wound must be
healed.
Was there a wound when Protestantism separated from Rome?
Yes.
All right. And they called it children. The children will return to the mother. Mm. Right? Do we see children returning to the mother?
Yes, in droves.
Now, before the Protestant Reformation, were there children?
No.
No.
Actually, no.
No. There were no children, right? So obviously the children must come after they'd been spawned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct? Mm-hmm. So now the children will return to the mother. Now, why did they separate from the mother?
Because they weren't in harmony with the scripture.
Exactly. Have they come into harmony with the scripture in the meantime?
No.
No, they've gone worse, right? Yes.
And that's why they could go back.
So now they've gone back. So what does that mean about the children? Did the children become better or did they become worse?
Worse.
I see. The Bible calls her the mother of harlots.
That's it.
So what have the children become then?
Or become
harlots.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How could they become harlots? What have they done to become harlots? If you tolerate error,
yes,
you are a harlot. If you sit at the same table and partake of the same spiritual food, then you are a harlot.
Yeah.
So this is a rather sad state of affairs. It's a sign of the times.
Al rezar a Dios siguiendo a Jesús, nos unimos como hermanos con los que rezan siguiendo otras culturas, otras tradiciones y otras creencias. Somos hermanos que oramos. La fraternidad nos lleva a abrirnos al Padre de todos y a ver en el otro un hermano, una hermana, para compartir la vida, para sostenerse mutuamente, para amar, para conocer. La Iglesia valora la acción de Dios en las demás religiones, sin olvidar que para nosotros cristianos la fuente de la dignidad humana y de la fraternidad está en el Evangelio de Jesucristo. Los creyentes debemos volver a nuestras fuentes y concentrarnos en lo que es esencial, lo que es esencial de nuestra fe, la adoración a Dios y el amor al prójimo. Recemos para que el Señor nos dé la gracia de vivir en plena fraternidad con los hermanos y hermanas de otra religión, y no andar peleando, y rezando unos por otros, abriéndonos a todos.
So, Martin, this is a very clever little video that's been put out by the Vatican with the Pope as the narrator. And he's showing the various religions mm-hmm. in their own sphere. And then he shows their commonality. They have a food kitchen. Mm. And they hand out food standing side by side to the poor.
Yeah.
Martin, is that the gospel? Or should that be a fruit of the gospel?
A fruit of the gospel.
Okay, so we're not denying that it's not right to give food to those who are hungry.
No, there's an...
But that is their commonality.
That's it.
So, Martin, it seems to me that social issues mm-hmm. are the commonality.
Everything that has to do with a common good.
Common good, which is defined by him... which obviously must also be based on a lie because he is from the father of lies, right? The dragon gave him his power. So all of this is coming together. Mm. Are we in the last days?
If you cannot see this, then I think it's time to open your eyes.
I think so too. Now, Martin, how far do they want to take this imagery? Just within the Christian world or with the others as well?
No, it has to incorporate all.
So we're going to build Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi. Let's build one in Berlin as well. Let's build one in New York.
Yes.
Now, do these religions that have a common ancestry according to them, namely Abraham, Do they all have a common belief in who the Messiah is and what his role is?
No.
So what will be their cultural unity? What we saw previously, that's right? It. So rotten. This is a sign of the times.
You know, it's interesting. By one name can you achieve heaven.
Yes.
And that name is Messiah. It's in missing. All of this.
It has to be missing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you can't have this unity.
And even if they use the name, like the Judaism uses Messiah, and Catholicism uses Jesus Christ, and so on, it's not the one of the Bible.
No, it's a different one. A completely different one. Now, the Bible also tells us when this wound is healed, the second beast will make an image to the beast, right? In other words, it will have its mindset. Well, they've made it quite clear that they have its mindset already. But here, Crux reported that if Biden is to heal America, he'll need his church. Now, is this church and state working together to heal something?
Well, I can't think that you can have it more bluntly that it's church and state working together.
Absolutely. So is this a sign of the times?
Definitely.
Then finally, the legislation associated with buying and selling and the implementation of the mark of the beast needs to be in place. Mm-hmm. That's the final sign, right?
Getting everything in place for the final one.
Now, the mark of the beast has to do with the authority of the beast versus the authority of God. The mark of the beast as opposed to the seal of God. And the seal, something that seals something into law. If you put your seal on it, then that was law. You'll find it in the Ten Commandments. In 6 days, the Lord, there's his name, his title, Creator God, who made the heavens and the earth, his jurisdiction, heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. That's his seal, is in the Sabbath commandment. Rome says, no, I've changed that. My seal is in the Sunday.
Exactly. It's like when you take the 9 commandments without the 4th one, that's the seal. Any God could have claimed that.
Correct.
But to put the proof on which God it is, creator of everything, there's the stamp.
Correct. Now, as soon as you put the sun day, the venerable day of the sun in its place, that's sun worship. And the God of sun worship, according to the secret societies of the world, is Lucifer.
Yeah.
And you can read Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, or you could read Mackey's work on Freemasonry, or you could read Blavatsky's writings. They make no bones about it that the god that they worship is Baal, the sun god. Now, Baal worship was a major problem when it came to the Israelites. Mm. And Ezekiel saw the vision of the 25 elders with their backs to the temple worshipping the sun.
About 25.
And whenever you look at the imagery in the world of worship, they always have their hands up towards mm-hmm. the sun, right? They're worshipping the sun. And the papacy has the image of the sun coming out of the golden cup. That is one of the images of the Jesuit order, the golden cup with the sun circle, the host, with the sun rays with the letters IHS on it, right? Those are Jesuit emblems. They are emblems of sun worship, of Lucifer worship. And these two will come into conflict with each other. Now, in order to implement the mark of the beast, you need to implement buying and selling regulations. Because if you do not go along with what they tell you, you will be deprived of any economic activity.
Yes.
In other words, they will cut off your lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What do you call that, Martin?
Coercion.
Correct. We've got this tune down pat, right?
And it... also, if we can just say it again, it won't happen then only when the mark of the beast is being implemented, because that will be too obvious.
It has to come before with other issues. So let's see does this legislation have the possibility of arising in the current climate? That is the final sign. Well, here's some news. Big business gets its wings as leaders from major U.S. companies partner with Pope Francis. So big business will now implement certain rules as to who may be economically active and who may not. Mm-hmm. And where did they get their wings? After they partnered with Pope Francis. It's an interesting statement, right? So the alliance known as the Council for Inclusive Capitalism with the Vatican aims to create a more inclusive, fair, and sustainable economic landscape by taking pledges towards sustainable development goals focused on areas such as climate action, peace and justice, quality education, and gender equality. The whole catastrophe is in that one sentence. Mm-hmm. If you don't have our moral mindset, and you don't comply to our rules and regulations, we will cut you off. Do they have those rules in place?
Yes.
Okay. No jab, no job. Vatican gets tough with COVID anti-vaxxers. You know, if you want to lead, you have to lead by example. Mm-hmm. They were the first ones to do it, right?
Back in February already.
All right. Is this coercion?
Oh, definitely.
Is this saying you will not be able to buy or sell? We will cut you off?
That's it.
All right. So the Vatican led by example. Business maverick. No jab, no job. Big business pushes for mandatory COVID vaccinations in the workplace. So did big business follow the Vatican plan?
Yes.
Are they going to build back better? Yeah. What's going to happen to the little middleman when all the finances go into building back better for the mega companies and everybody else goes onto lockdown? Then they will finally have the entire means of making you do what they want you to do.
That's it. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You remember?
And you will have a passport which shows your compliance and obedience.
That's it, a green light or a red light.
And a red light. So that's how it will be.
And this is not speculation.
No.
It's happening.
All right. Is this biblical?
Yes.
Yes. Martin, are there environmental signs in place?
Definitely.
Is the moral decay in place? Is the political world on board? Is the religious world on board? Yeah. Is the economic world on board? Is the mechanism in place?
Yeah.
What other signs are we waiting for, Martin? The final implementation of the mark of the beast.
That's it.
Now, people will say, you always talk about it, but it hasn't happened. But we've had talks about it, mm-hmm. of how it makes its way in darkness, yeah. and how it has been implemented.
Do you really think that the devil will put it out there so that the whole world can know?
No, but he'll put it out in plain sight, yes. just like the secret societies do it, but in so twisted a fashion that most people don't see it.
Exactly, and you'll be deceived.
Correct. So Revelation 18, verse 23, "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Now, sorceries is occultism, but it's also pharmacia. And the Vatican, through its affiliates, controls the medical world, the drug world, the medical drug world, and the other drug worlds as well, just by the way. And they practice sorcery, there's no doubt about that, because through their secret societies and their affiliations, they are busy with sorcery. Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan and the author of the Satanic Bible, found his most illustrious audience at the University of San Francisco, which is a Jesuit institution. And that is history. They make no bones about their dabbling in the occult and in their pharmacia. And in her, this is a rather profound statement, was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The multitudes of millions that have died as a consequence of this system will only be known in the judgment.
Yeah.
But they are there according to this verse, the blood of all that were slain upon the earth. There are things happening in the world today which are leading to the death of thousands and millions.
Yeah.
And if we trace cause to effect, mm-hmm. then we should take note of this verse, Revelation 18, verse 24. Is the coronavirus pandemic a judgment from God? Well, Martin, it depends what God you're talking about.
That's true.
Is it a God of their own creation? We will find out. Here is Yahoo News. Medical journals warned world leaders not to wait until COVID-19 is over to address the climate crisis, calling it the greatest threat to global public health. So, Martin, we have to move from one crisis, mm-hmm. which, by the way, has been used to implement structures that will prevent you from buying and selling if you do not comply to certain wishes.
Exactly. If they were to, 2 years ago, implement these structures that have now been implemented without a pandemic, it would never, everybody would have kicked against this.
You wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting that you go from a vaccination card to a green card? What does that tell you? And what will be the next step? a vaccination card, a green card, and a mock card.
That little green or red flash that comes on your phone or card or whatever, that
Correct.
Will determine a lot.
So has this already happened? Get ready for the left's climate change emergency. We're going to have a climate crisis, and it's going to be called Code Red for the world. And now we've had the first case on November 8th, 2021, where a Canadian woman becomes the first person diagnosed as suffering from climate change. So is climate change going to be a health issue?
Definitely. They've already glued them together.
People are sick because of climate change. Yeah. Didn't Pope Francis himself say that coronavirus came into existence because of climate change?
Yeah, he did.
That is a fascinating statement. A fascinating statement, totally devoid of science, but nevertheless a fascinating statement. This is God's creation. So says Pelosi. Pelosi invokes religion for climate change action after the UN summit. This is very interesting. It's a moral obligation, she says, for us to hand this planet over to the next generation in a responsible way. For me, it's a religious thing. Martin, is church and state together?
I don't know how you cannot see this.
Are they talking the language of the Bible?
All the signs.
Are all the signs of the times in place?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we waiting for? The final act.
That's it.
The last song. Let's listen to her.
In terms of the investment in combating the climate crisis, I think I've seen you since I was in Glasgow. We had a delegation, 22 members, our chairs. It took a giant step forward, but we have to do our share, our fair share. And so what that's about is creating good pay. It's about health care for our children, clean. It's about jobs, good paying, union jobs to keep us preeminent in green technologies throughout the world. You've heard me say it's a national security issue, as the national security advisors tell us. A competition for, and of course, a moral obligation for us to hand this planet over to the next generation in a responsible way. For me, it's a religious thing. I believe this is God's creation, and We have moral obligation to be good stewards. But if you don't share that view, you must share the view that we have an obligation.
That's a script straight out of Revelation.
Yeah. She put in the labor unions even there.
The labor unions are in there. Jobs, jobs, yeah. Jobs through the labor unions. This is incredible, Martin. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. And there are people who claim that we are not there. Be careful lest anyone deceive you. Here's the journal America from a November issue in 2021. COP26 did not go far enough. It's time to take the Pope Francis approach to climate change. Now, that is admiring the first beast, right?
If you remember, Francis also gave Biden, as a gift, his encyclicals.
Correct. To better understand the contrast, we can explore another pair of cities, Paris, where a climate accord was hammered out in 2015 versus Rome and its body of Catholic thought. They reveal vastly different perspectives on climate change. Rome, or the Catholic Church, begins rightly by defining life's purpose and then searches for socio-political structures that will get us there. Now, Rome has defined, or the Jesuits have defined, what life's purpose is. And according to Richard M. Gula, the Jesuit professor, life's purpose is to live a truly human life. Now, Martin, I thought life's purpose was to develop a moral character in relationship with Jesus Christ and accepting his gift of salvation so that you can be fitted for heaven.
Yes.
That was life's purpose. Here's a totally new purpose, which is so mundane and so earthly, because they don't even believe in a millennium. They are amillennialists. That it really is a travesty of justice. Rome encourages us to use Ignatian spirituality. In other words, a fake spirituality based on the imagination rather than reality.
Your virtual reality.
Your virtual reality. To see God in all things, pantheism, while instructing us that we are all stewards of the earth. Martin, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were so, my servants would fight. But the day is coming when all these signs are fulfilled, that he will come with power and great glory and put an end to this misery. Rome understands that virtue flows from the pursuit of the common good, defined by solidarity, charity, and reciprocity. In other words, you must all work together, and the one that you must work together with is him.
Yeah, like that little video we watched earlier.
Correct. Rome, therefore, informs the climate change challenge on two levels. The epistemological, by properly framing the question and identifying the root cause of the problem. What is that? The Roman document that most obviously serves as the counterpoise to the Paris Agreement is Laudato Si. Pope Francis instructs us that all things are connected and that climate change, social injustice, and economic inequality are inextricably linked. So, Martin, social injustice is causing climate change. Interesting. Throughout the encyclical, Francis explains how our idolatry of the machine and our unbridled pursuit of narrow self-interest crowd out any sense of justice and the common good. But what about his idolatry? His idolatry of Pachamama. Yeah. What about his idolatry of the mass? Mm. What about his idolatry of mixing truth with error? What about his idolatry of making void the law of God? What about all of those? They don't matter, right?
It's above that.
So what we need is an implementation of the mark.
Yeah.
And that will be the final drama, and then the end will come.
Mm-hmm.
Slow Sunday, the simple solution to global warming. We should restore Sunday to a day for Gaia, a day for the earth. It's well said, Martin, because the Sabbath is a day for God.
Yes.
Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
They went a day for Gaia. They're welcome to it,
yeah.
But not for me, thank you. I want no part in it.
That's it. And unfortunately, that's not going to be without consequences.
No.
Your decision on that.
So the churches together, they want a climate Sunday. First they want an annual one, but then they'll want a weekly one.
Mm-hmm.
EU bishops call for nations to protect a work-free Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's get the unions on board and work together with them. Participate and protect Sunday, says the Alliance for the Free Sunday. Jubilee for the Earth, looking for the Laudato Si week. That's the Independent Catholic mm-hmm. news. Martin, has the table been laid?
Definitely. I think you must, if you cannot see what's going on with these signs, take off your glasses, wipe them clean, get some eye salve, and look again.
Look again. Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Where were they going to look? They were going to look down, right?
Around.
They were going to look down. They were going to look at Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I am so glad that all these signs are in place. The environmental signs, the spiritual signs, the messianic signs, the political signs, the buying and selling, the economic signs, and then the mark of the beast signs.
And this propaganda machine is running crazy.
It is running at full bore. There was only one brief period in history when it was running at that capacity, but that was local. It was in one nation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was in Europe. But now we've surpassed it. We've made it universal. May God give us wisdom not to be deceived. Shall we pray?
Please.
Heavenly Father, the signs have fulfilled all around us. We're waiting for the final events. Some more propaganda, some more indoctrination, some more lies, and then the end will come. Give us wisdom and help us to be faithful stewards of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.